Hi, everyone, and welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We're so glad that you're here with us tonight and with my special guest, Tori White from the CLC Network. Welcome, Tori, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, it's my pleasure and my privilege, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited because tonight we're finishing off our, I guess I didn't tell you this, but we're doing a monthly series on different topics. And this month, February, we're talking about child spirit. So we've been approaching that topic from different avenues. And one of the things we hear from our parents so much is, I just can't find a church that we can integrate into as a family. We need that support, but we just seem to run into walls every time we try to go somewhere, or I try to go to a Bible study and bring my child along. And so they're without support. And especially since their child's not going to school, they don't have those supports either. So they kind of feel isolated. So what we're going to talk about tonight is building bridges with your places of worship, and your organization offers so many resources for parents as well as churches on how to do that. And I'm excited to be able to talk about that. So
I'm excited too.
Yeah. So can you, well, first of all, I'm going to let our audience know, if you've got questions, comments, stories to share with us, please put those in the comments as we're talking. We want to bring you into this discussion. This isn't just about us. It's about you too. And so put that in there. And we're going to start the conversation. We're going to go through some slides and some resources, but definitely we'll be building your questions and comments into there. And so, so let us get to know you a little bit, Tori, and just what you do with CLC Network, kind of your history. I know you have some stories too of your own difficulties integrating into church just because of some medical issues.
Yes, absolutely.
Can you share some of that background with us?
Yeah.
And, that'd be great to get to know you.
Yeah, let me start with explaining what CLC Network is. Mm-hmm. It stands for Christian Learning Center Network, and 35 plus years ago, it was actually a school for students with disabilities. And then they pretty quickly learned that was not the model that they really found effective. Mm. And so then they started to become a network of schools that were including kids with disabilities right within the general education population with supports put in place. Mm-hmm. And so it grew from that to a whole network of schools around the nation. And then when I came on board, I was hired in to work for the church division, because what was happening was the special education teachers would talk to the families about how is church going. And we heard over and over again, we were told not to come back, or we can't go to church, or, you know, all of these other stories. And, so that is what birthed the church division, because we said, hold on a minute, if we can figure this out for about 40 hours a week during school and make it successful, mm-hmm. I think we can figure it out for about 3 hours a week on a Sunday. So that's where the church division came from in CLC Network. So that was started by my colleague Barb. And then at the time, I actually worked for her at our church in our children's mm-hmm. ministry department. So we got to know one another that way. And then then I started working for CLC Network. Now, ironically, right when I took this position at CLC Network as a church consultant mm-hmm. was when I got really, 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 really sick. To the point that I could not get out of bed some days. And so I actually ended up having a care team come and wrap around my entire family and support us with everything from rides to doctor's visits to getting the groceries for me to handling my laundry because I couldn't do it. And my kids were very young at the time, kindergarten and under. And so life got interesting, and church
definitely.
Got very interesting. I literally ended up in the ER a couple of times after trying to be at church because my body could not cope with the amount of sensory processing mm-hmm. that had to happen in the environment of church. So I learned what it is to be de-churched, and that is a phrase that that I've come to know well. And I know the pain that families feel for having to find themselves in a position where their church is either unwelcoming because of their unwillingness to make some adaptations or to have conversations, or for families to be literally told, please don't come back here. Right. And so that is painful. And I mm-hmm. grieve with everyone who has felt that, and for the church. And we'll talk more about that.
Yeah,
but
definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that's a little bit of my story, that thankfully now I am well and I'm able to do my job. Mm-hmm. And so I have a definitely a sensitive perspective on all of these.
I was going to say, God just opened that door to help you to, you know, and we do, when our story intersects with our work, yeah. we can pour so much more into it because of our understanding. And yes. So he opened that door for you to
yeah, absolutely.
Do that.
Yeah.
And so we often ask, why is there suffering in the world? And that's one of those things that, yes, it helps us to understand others better because we all suffer in other, you know, some areas of our lives. So,
right. The scripture tells us, right, that he comforts us so that we can then in turn comfort others with that same comfort we've received. So it's
exactly.
very true.
That he uses those
things. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So. Yeah, that's the verse that all of our team members agree on when they join our team, because that's where we come from too. It's mm-hmm. I mean we're not a Christian organization, but our team is, and so definitely we believe that is that we can give the greatest comfort is where God has comforted us.
Absolutely. Yep. So with that, I'd love to tell you a few things that I've learned with working with churches and that CLC Network has developed over the years that we have kind of found to be effective across the board with churches. And so one of the things that I am really passionate about doing is helping churches to understand the position that they have to either de-church or to welcome families. And so what I'd love to do today is to offer some hope for those who are in ministry.
Yeah.
And for those who are in families, to say, this doesn't have to be an overwhelming project for anyone, and that mm-hmm. churches can do this in some very real ways, and sometimes some pretty small ways, actually, just with the willingness.
I love how all the resources you have really breaks it down to something manageable, saying, okay, this, I mean, even the positions, this is what you need to do, you know, all these different things in your church, this is how you can build in things to make them more inclusive. So and I'm going to dive into that. Do you want me to pull up the slides now?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get the slides going. I don't know if anybody else is, but I'm a very visual learner. I don't do well with just spoken words because they'll slip out of my brain eventually. But if I have some pictures to go with it, then I can remember things better. So that's
awesome. All right. Well, let me see here. Can do this. Okay, now I need to figure out how to get it above us. There we go.
Oh yeah, there we go. So it's coming up. And I love this phrase, by the way, the idea of building bridges with our places of worship and the techniques, because that is really what it comes down to, right? Is mm-hmm. that some adaptation is going to happen, and we're gonna really have to work together from both sides to meet somewhere in the middle and be able to both cross back and forth in this bridge in the places of worship. So let's see if we can get it to do sort of a slideshow version of it. So you can click through the slides.
The problem is I'm going to lose you if I do that. So let me see if can. I'll do that, but I'm not going to be able to see if there's any questions up. So I'm going to go up to present right now, and we'll see how that goes.
Yep. That's great. So there we go. You already heard about my name, so that's great.
Yeah.
So let's just move into this next one, because this next slide is really a wonderful picture of worship, and I think this encapsulates well what we want to say. This is really CLC's statement. It's our vision statement. It says, we envision a world where communities are marked by belonging for persons with varied abilities. And that really sums it up, because we all belong, right?
Right.
And I know many families choose homeschooling because they don't feel they belong in the other educational settings provided to them. And mm-hmm. as a worshiping community, right, we are the body of Christ across the world. And so we need to state that everyone belongs in the kingdom, mm-hmm. in the body of Christ. And so that means people with varied abilities are going to be there. So let's expect that and learn how to make that work. So that's what I am passionate about doing in my role for CLC. So let's just see what that comes to be. You know, what does that look like? What are we talking about when we're saying these things? And so What I have come to find is that churches really respond well when you can boil things down into a simple plan. Three parts is always a good thing to go with. So we have found that this three-part plan makes a lot of sense to people. If we can all agree on a common perspective, and if we can talk about participation for everyone, and if we can talk about personalization for those who need those kinds of adaptations, then I think we all have a common ground to go from.
Mm-hmm.
So we can dive into what does that really mean when we unpack it a little bit as we go forward.
Definitely.
So by perspective, CLC Network has these famous pink and green puzzle pieces. Everywhere I go, I speak all over the country, my colleagues and I, everywhere we go, we travel with these pink and green puzzle pieces, because this is really how we see people, right? So we're all part of this giant body puzzle of the body of Christ, and each one of us is a piece in it. And so we have our pinks and we have our greens. And so our pinks are those things we're not so great at, and those greens are the things that we are good at, but we're all a piece of the puzzle. And we're going to unpack that a little bit more once we've kind of gone an overview of what we're talking about here. So that's our perspective, is that each of us is a piece of the puzzle, right?
Yeah, definitely. And we all have deficits. We all have gifts. And that's perfect how that is just half and half.
Right, exactly.
We don't want to admit to the other half, but it's there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too. But So the one that I get more questions on is this next one, which is participation. And we sort of have simplified things a little bit to keep it in our three P's, right? The nice alliteration there. But what we're talking about is universal design. And actually in education, it's becoming pretty trendy word to talk about universal design for learning. But all we're saying, right, is that we want to put some things in place that help everybody. In the end, it may have been designed for one person in particular or one set of people in particular, but in the end, it helps everyone, much like an elevator, right? Those are designed for people who have limited mobility, who are not able to use the stairs in a building. Mm-hmm. But does everybody use the elevator when they go in the building?
Of course.
Unless you're really ambitious and want to climb those stairs, right? So,
exactly.
So we all take advantage of those. Or garage door openers. Did you know those were invented for people with disabilities?
I did not know that.
Found that out a little while ago, a couple of years ago, and thought, really? Because I remember being the youngest kid in the family, having to get out of the car, go open the manual open garage door. And yes, it was a big day when we got a garage door opener in my household as a kid. But yeah, so those are a perfect example of universal design, that it's helping thousands more people than it was designed to. But
definitely.
So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, we think about, you know, even just how normal things now are used as assistive technology too. I mean, it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, it's great that we can think outside the box.
Yeah. So we'll dive into some ideas for church settings where universal design can be put in place. But then finally, you will always have some individuals too who are going to require some personalization. And I know each homeschool parent knows about this, because this is what you do day in and day out, is you personalize your educational plan, your daily plan, your plan for that minute based on the needs of this child, right? Or this individual. And so if universal design is what you're doing for the good of everyone, then we call this responsive design, because you're responding to the needs of particular individuals, right? And so you can design adaptations and things and put things in place, but you have to base it on what you know of the individual. So personalization.
So very important. Yes. And I know you're going to dive into that.
So, and again, feel free, everyone, to post in your questions about all of these, but we'll try to unpack them a little more for you. But before I do that, I just want to bring up the whole idea of cans, because I think churches can be really good at building cans. And I think some of us like to buck that system a little bit because of the institutionalizing of it. And we don't like that feel. And that's okay. But I don't want to put down cans either. Churches are very good at building a strong women's ministry can, a men's ministry can, a youth ministry can, you know, an outreach ministry can, what have you. Even a homeschool ministry can, right? Mm-hmm. They have Bible studies and get-togethers and play groups and all these kinds of wonderful things. But I think the danger lies in when we think about having disability ministry as another can that we need to build. And then churches get stuck, they get overwhelmed, or they think, well, now we have to create, you know, room 7, where all of our people with disabilities need to go to this place and do this separate thing. And so we have to have this specialized thing happening. So I would propose that we've discovered a different way of thinking about it. And if you'll just click the next piece of this slide, it'll come up. I'd much rather think, rather than have another can, let's think shredded cheese.
Okay.
Because shredded cheese, instead of all of the cans being their separate ingredients, if you'll go ahead and click it through a little more. Sorry, I'm used to clicking my own presentation.
No, that's okay.
I like to think the church becoming more like a casserole, where the cheese is sprinkled throughout the whole thing. And so if you think of this shredded cheese spreading throughout and adding flavor and bringing it all together, then that makes sense to me in terms of how a disability ministry is going to be equipping the church. So rather than having this separate ministry, they're almost like a meta ministry, a ministry to all the other ministries, because they're doing what I do for churches, right? We're equipping each ministry to be able to include individuals within those ministries who may need a personalized plan or need a few more elements put in place in order to be successful.
Right.
And so that's what we're doing, is we're resourcing each of the ministries where those people belong, because we don't want to take an adult in the seniors ministry with dementia, who we're going to label as a person with a disability, and put it in the same group as a youth group member with autism and an elementary student with ADHD and a toddler with Down syndrome, and call that our disability ministry, put them all in a room together. What are they going to do together?
Right, exactly.
Doesn't make any sense. They need to be within the ministries where they already fall in line and into place. And so that's who we need to resource and be a resource for. So that's how I envision it. And it seems to make sense to churches. And so often I get this, rather than this sort of overwhelmed feeling of, oh, we have so much we need to think about and do, when I get to this part in this explanation, there's just this huge sigh of relief, and churches go,
right.
Oh, I think we could do that.
Exactly. Yes. Because you're not disrupting everything. You're just melding it together. And people with disabilities do that. I think when we isolate those with disabilities, I didn't tell you this part of my story, but I have 10 siblings all adopted with special needs. And so, you know, my parents going to church, my siblings are just part of that fabric of their church. And it allows people to maybe be a little uncomfortable, but yet to stretch themselves. And we learn how to live more like Christ and within our separate ministries the same way. So I love your analogy. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Well, I can't take credit for personally, but it's been a group effort from CLC Network. But it works. And I love thinking of the church as a casserole. There's just a lot you could go with that whole idea anyway.
Oh. But. Well, if you grew up, I grew up in the North, just like you, casseroles are in every church.
Something in life happens. Somebody shows up with a casserole. It's just good.
Yeah, but exactly.
Yeah, but no, that's great. We can move into some practical ideas for churches, because that's really where the heart of what we do is, too, is what does this really look like? What kind of ideas are we talking about? So let's go into a couple, and we'll break them into these categories, right? But before you can talk about anything else, I've learned time after time, you've got to get leadership on board. If you don't have pastoral buy-in, no ministry is going to flourish or get anywhere and get traction. So that's rule number one, right? And sometimes that takes time, and we have to be patient with our churches too. But the thing that I hate to see happen is for parents or families of people with disabilities are the ones who are constantly being the voice, being the advocate, but it never gets traction, and they get worn out. And they're already pretty thin. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to get leadership buy-in so that it becomes the church's responsibility to advocate and to do things. And it's not that family's job to have to advocate everywhere, including at church. So leadership.
Because they're advocating everywhere else for their child as well. And it puts you on the defense. And it almost comes down to the point where every time somebody comes at you, you just react at them. And you don't want to be that way, but it's just your mode of operation, unfortunately.
Right.
And so yes, to have buy-in from leadership. I know, you know, that's, if you have a good school or, you know, a therapist and all these, every part of that support that your family and your child needs just is a weight off of your shoulders as a parent with those children. And so yes, definitely. If you find a church that can do that and even just be willing to learn, you know.
Right. Right. Oftentimes it's helpful if the pastor comes in and has a child with a disability, but you know, so just a couple of quick scriptures on that next slide for us, help us to establish a biblical basis for this idea of people with disabilities. And as you said, you know, that our communities need this. But here's just some food for thought when you're talking to your pastors. And that my favorite here is Romans 15:7, right? It says, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. And so if you're on the praise team, right, we're all on the praise team by accepting one another. We're bringing shouts in heaven. So we like to say at CLC, who wants to make heaven a noisier place? Let's accept one another. And that's making heaven noisy. And then this idea of the puzzle pieces, which we're going to dive into right after this, is that, but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, each one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So, right, that idea that God's put us together for a purpose.
Exactly.
And he's arranged each one of us in our families, in our churches, in our communities, be where we are for his purposes. So I get excited about that.
Yeah, definitely. I've just finished the book, The Anatomy of the Soul, and he talked a lot about, you know, just how Paul was so adamant with those Corinthians about just their inability to see how every one of them mattered. And because they were putting each other off and doing all these things, but just that you can't function, even though we may prize some gifts or some people within the church, if you don't have the other people in your church, you are suffering as a church.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize that our lives are fuller by having people that need us for certain things, and they show us our needs as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
We have to let go of our pride. And realize that we are not as wonderful as we are if we look so on the outside, because inside we're all the same.
And we get to the heart of our real disability, right? The spiritual disability, but that's a whole nother talk.
Exactly.
So let's look at puzzle pieces for a little bit here. Let's just linger on that for a minute, because one of the things, again, that makes sense to leaders is if we can talk about each other as belonging together. God arranged us in this way. And so if we put on the new glasses that God gives us for each one being a puzzle piece, then let's talk about what that looks like. So I'll start it off. I often will talk about my own puzzle piece. So I'll introduce mine a little bit. You can get to know a little more about me that way. If our slideshow is going to cooperate.
All right.
So, of course, I'm going to start with my greens, the things that I'd rather talk about that I'm pretty good at. I like to do them. So, of course, that's what I've chosen to do for my line of work and all those things. So you can just throw up those pictures and I'll give a quick little explanation. We're not going to talk about me for too long because you want to hear other things. But obviously, I'm comfortable with public speaking, whether that be online or in person. And I've learned not everybody likes to do that. I've learned that not everybody likes to organize things either. Some people would rather have it a big mess and let me come organize it for them. So.
Yes, definitely.
And then one just other fun fact is I like to bake, which has come in handy because my family's all gluten-free. And so I've learned to get really creative with making our own baked goods in interesting ways.
Definitely.
So, and something that comes along with that, I must have inherited from my mom, because even if I'm talking to her on the phone and I tell her I've got muffins in the oven, she'll say, I think those might need to be done. You should go check them. Or, you know, if I tell the kids, okay, when the timer goes off, make sure those muffins come out, and then the timer will go off and they'll be taking them out. I'll hear from the other room or, you know, whatever I'm doing. I'm like, no, I think they need to go back in. I just have a sense for it. Like I have this inner timer or something.
It's the smell. I never put a timer on. I just go by smell.
Right. So there you go. You've got it too. But I've learned, not everybody does that. My husband has to have it like the directions written to the exact minute, or he can't do it. So anyway, that's one of those funny things. But I have my other side of my puzzle piece too. I have my life in my pinks. Mm-hmm. And those are not as much fun for me to talk about, but right. I have been talked about by them as well. Physics, let's say, is just not a score for me. Don't give me a Rubik's Cube and expect it to get into the right colors, because that's not going to happen.
I have a degree in physics and I could never do a Rubik's Cube.
All right, so they're not connected. That makes me feel a little bit better, but yes. Wow, I will just bow to you.
The circuits, though, I used to blow them up in the labs. That's why I didn't continue with it. I became a test engineer.
I could survive in the lab, but then when I went to take the test, I'd fail every written physics test. So the one year I did go to high school and did physics, the teacher actually was able to give a science award at the end of the year. And he said, I always give an award to a student who's worked really hard and I honor in the sciences. He said, but this year I'm giving it to a student who came to me every day for more homework and worked the hardest I've ever seen a student work and still failed every test. That was me.
Perseverance. You can add that to your green list.
Right. Yeah. Perseverance. Good. Physics, whatever reason, not clicking with me. But so there we go. Don't ask me to solve your intricate math problems. It won't happen. But one other area of weakness for me that has impacted my ability to go to church is my vestibular system. Mm. So anything to do with balance, because when I got really sick with Lyme disease, the Lyme disease actually affected the vestibular system of my brain. And so all visual input, audio input, walking around, anything like that was just all thrown off. And so my balance was totally thrown off. I could feel the waves of sound hit my body and literally push me back. And so even now, you know, I very easily get dizzy and things like that. So I have some physical limitations that I've learned about myself, and that's a vulnerable area for me.
Right. Those are good to know.
Oh yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. But learning my rumble strips, as someone quoted for me, I thought that's really brilliant. I know when I've got to straighten out and be a little more careful or something, but, so that's an area of weakness for me, and I'm perfectly willing to acknowledge that. And I'm sure if I had my family here with me, they would be telling me many more things that they know I'm not so great at, or could be my pink areas and hot spots. But for the sake of time, we could move on and think about a couple of other things in terms of puzzle pieces. And that is that we all have them, right? And so yes, we could be good at making friends, but maybe not so good at writing. And we could think about where are our pinks and where are our greens, but also think about our spiritual gifts, right? The gifts listed in, again, words of Paul, right? The gifts of administration, teaching, compassion, encouragement, those all count too. So some of us struggle to come up with what are our green areas, and some of those may be spiritual gifts given in that too. So I just think it's a nice exercise for us to think about what are our lives meaning for us in our greens and our pinks, because that tells us how we spend our time, and that will tell us where our struggles are too. So let's just analyze this whole life of the puzzle piece a moment as we go forward here, because I've learned a few lessons as we've talked about puzzle pieces. And that, first of all, is that, excuse me, there are no all pink people. Definitely. Right. As you said, some of us tend to get identified by our pink areas only, or our labels. So, you know, oh, here comes Lyme disease Tori because she can't stand up in a crowd for anything. Right. Mm-hmm. Or here comes, you know, wheelchair Sue or Down syndrome Jonathan. And so people tend to get labeled by their pink areas, but God has not created anybody missing gifts. We all have gifts to give. And so no one is an all pink person. Mm-hmm. But there's a flip side to that too, right? The other side of the piece, there's no all green people.
Exactly.
So just because I could bake the muffins and present the speech and organize things, maybe I could fix the air conditioning and set up the coffee and get the tech running too. But then if I could run the whole church service, well, where does that leave anyone else?
Exactly.
I wouldn't need anyone else. What kind of church would that be if it only took one person? So I think God's very intentional to not have created any green people either. All green people, I should say.
Yeah.
And that we each have
areas. Sometimes we put people on pedestals too, or knock them off when we should all be playing on an even field. just because of the way our society views different gifts. And instead of seeing us all like you're showing, you know, we're half and half.
Right.
Definitely. And it takes some uncovering and discovering, especially when people within the disability world are so told that their pink areas or their deficits are what defines them, and to press through that, to overcome that and say, no, this is who I am. I mean, that's a great advantage of, that parents have, but if, as a church, we are called to do that.
Right. Right. And, and the beauty of, equipping churches with this perspective is key, because that's the other thing, right? It, again, sort of in the educational world or the medical field, you know, we get these labels and things, and we sort of need these glasses to look at how atypical, how many degrees below zero, you know, we have to score everybody on all of those things. But at church, we don't have to do that.
Yeah.
We don't have to have labels in order to put things in place. We don't have to have the eyes that the rest of the world sees with. We get the eyes of Christ, and the perspective of one another as belonging together. And so, like you said, sometimes you have to dig a little harder to find the green areas of someone, but they're no less there just because they're harder to find. So,
Or they're buried under lots of people's judgment or bullying, and, you know, all these things that we heap on top, and the shame that we take on that was never meant for us to take.
Right.
But yet we do, and it's our nature to do that and to just help people unpack that. I mean, definitely.
Yeah. So as we think about that, like we've already said so many times, right, as the next slide shows, right, we all fit together. And so if you just click it there, it's just going to bring that piece into place. Well, the animation's not working real well on this system, but that's okay. The one puzzle piece is supposed to slide up into place, but that's okay. No, that's fine. We can keep going.
Okay.
We've already talked about how God's arranged us all together. But I think this next slide is important, though, where it's saying, you know, you go first, as a leader is saying, as I just did by demonstration, I gave you my puzzle piece first, and it's okay. I started with my greens. We're allowed to do that. But to admit our pinks, too, as leaders. I know one of the most effective things ever for me was in church when I would hear my pastor talk about his own areas of weakness and how, you know, he would bring in other staff or other people into ministry alongside him because he knew that he was not great at this, that, or the other thing, and these other people could come alongside him with that, so that where I'm weak, you can bring your strengths, and where I'm strong, I can bring my strengths along to support your areas of weakness. So that's
right. And that's really hard sometimes in a church when you will have deficits in relational areas, because I think churches just assume if you're a follower of Christ that you should be loving and have, you know, be able to have eye contact and not need, you know, a support something with you in order to function. And I think that was the hard point for my oldest, who's on the autism spectrum, even though, and he's very mild, you would never know it. When you meet him, he covers it up well. I mean, he's in his 20s too. He's learned to do this. But during the service, he had to be on his phone to listen. And he was just judged as he's not paying attention. He's just sitting in the back doing nothing. Because it was just assumed that that was ungodly to be that way. So that's hard when we have to get, we can't be judgmental about how somebody is behaving before we learn, we get to know them.
Right, right. We have to get some information. Absolutely. And that means being willing to share some information too and allow people to see your vulnerability as well.
Vulnerability, that's it. Yeah, I interviewed a pastor 2 weeks ago who's also the father of a child with autism, and he said how vulnerable he has learned to have to be, get the support that he needs, even from his home church, because they don't understand his son. And it's very important that we be that way. And we just have to open ourselves up, and sometimes we may get hurt, but it's worth the effort.
So I think that moving on from puzzle piece demonstration, right, that we can go through and we can say, well, right, so each of us has specific purpose here. And so when we introduce someone, like you said, you know, we can introduce them with both pinks and greens. So each of us are here, we're made in God's image, a member of the body of Christ, just like my friend Jonathan, who also happens to have Down syndrome, right? And so that becomes a piece of the puzzle, but doesn't define the person as a whole.
Yes.
So I think that gets to be really important as we think about our church environments and ministry settings. So how that plays out now in as we're moving through things, I think we get to ask this question of, so what? You know, what difference does this make in the interactions and what's going to happen? And so a couple of thoughts on that as we click through here are, I think it makes a difference when maybe there's a birth announcement made, right? Have you ever heard the birth announcement that sounds more like an apology or something that's really disappointing in that, you know, this family gave birth to what? To a disability or to a baby, right? And so sometimes losing perspective right from the start and celebrating a life born and an image bearer of God and a member of the community who's coming in. And so thinking about how we word that instead. And we can talk about, you know, we're going to pray for the family who has some adjusting to do and we're learning things about who this new person is and, you know, all of those things. But to celebrate that we do have a person here to celebrate. Exactly. But that makes a difference, too, in this next thought of visiting the baby, been to those situations where, right, baby born with a disability, particularly a physical disability, people are afraid to touch or hold the baby or say anything.
They're just uncomfortable and they don't know. Yes. They think, well, I don't know what to do, so I'm just not going to do anything.
Exactly. Rather than thinking, oh, this is a piece of the puzzle who God has arranged into our community. Mm-hmm. Let's celebrate the green areas and the fun things about, oh, yes, grandma's nose and, you know, mom's eyes and what color is the nursery and all those things. And get around, again, like I said, to the idea of, you know, this is going to be a little different, isn't it? Or, you know, so what have we learned so far about how can we support you in what you're learning about what this child will need and so forth. But let's still visit the baby and ooh and ah over everything. But then thinking too about even those diagnoses that come later in life or new family into the church, right? And this is the one that we all fear as those families who have been de-churched is, oh, here it comes, the interview with the parent or this coming into church. And now they're going to ask, does your child have special needs or, you know, what's wrong with your child? And they're always starting with the pink areas, right? But what a difference it makes if we flip it instead and the church can ask, what does your child love to do? How that changes the conversation. And here's the real kicker for churches to know, asking what the child loves to do will already give you some ideas for what to do when that child is having a rough time, because now you already know what might help them get out of that and starts to give you strategies and ideas. So using that information and that puzzle piece perspective in our language and interactions makes a difference. As we move on, though, I think it also makes a difference in how we name our ministries, like we talked about, rather than having a can and that sort of thought. Mm-hmm. I think it makes a difference what churches are calling the ministry of reaching out to families affected by disability. So as we click through here, just saying, you know, do we want ministries to people with disabilities as if we're all green people always serving pink people? Mm-hmm. Or do we want ministries with people with varied abilities as in we're all puzzle pieces with both colors? And that idea of person first language, and you already kind of touched on this a little bit of, right, we are all image bearers of God and we are people first and we have value before any label that comes on. And so we are a person with Lyme disease, a person with vestibular differences, a person with autism spectrum disorder, right? And that people may identify themselves as autistic, for example, but that's up to them to decide if that's a part of their identity. So I think the safer bet for all of us is to say you are a person first and other things come on after. But if you choose to identify yourself that way, then that is language I would follow out of respect for you. But
right. Or you could just I sometimes disclose that to other people. Is when my son was diagnosed, my parents came back to me and said, well, that's you. And I went, oh, yeah, now I get it. But, you know, oftentimes I just say I have a hard time getting close to people. I don't like to be touched a lot. Eye contact I've worked on a lot. But being in social situations is very tiring for me. Even though I'm an extrovert, just to have to keep conversations up has become more fluid, but it used to not be. And right. So for people to understand that, you know, yes, I do public speaking and all these things, but it doesn't mean that I'm just a people person. I have a friend whose son would come, he wanted to hug me every time that he saw me. They were over, I'm like, Beck, I had enough. I've got to set boundaries with you.
Right. Yes. But, yes. Well, you do very well. I got to tell you.
I love that, to be able to define who you are as, like you said, not pointing out who we're helping. It's about community. It's about coming together and everybody helping one another. And that's really what we're called to do as a body of Christ anyways.
Exactly.
We don't have the people on this side that are the helpers and the people on this side who are the needy ones. We have to mix that together.
Absolutely. Yep. And so I think that affects, like I said, how we name our ministries. And so one of the slogans of a minister I've worked with uses this phrase. It says, everybody belongs, everybody serves. And that is so true too, that each of us has a place to serve. And so, you know, having pink labels does not excuse us from service either. And so each of us has gifts to bring. And so that is our position. So if that makes sense to people as a place to start, then I want to at least spend a little bit of time here diving into some practical ideas for that participation piece, implementing universal design.
I think that's often what we think about when we don't think about all the stuff that you just talked about, which is so important as the groundwork for the participation part, because we just want to get onto the participation part. But if you don't have that groundwork, like you were talking about, in the understanding and the culture change, mm-hmm. then all of this is going to be very difficult, or it's going to fail.
Exactly. Yep. Or it's just going to be very haphazard, and it's right. not really going to be a blessing to the community mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, I didn't know what to say. One of my team members came to me and she said, my church has told me I have $1,000 to fill a room for a special needs ministry. And she's like, I just, in my heart, I know that's not right. And I said, you got to watch tonight's show.
Yes, please call me.
Yeah.
So here, maybe you'll get a few ideas on how to spend that $1,000 now.
Exactly.
Like we've already talked about though, right? So we're talking about equal access for everyone, trying to create a level playing field for all to participate. And we might be thinking about it meeting the needs of a few people, but almost 100% of the people are going to benefit from these types of ideas. And so let's see if we can just go through a few here sort of quickly, because I know we're using up our time. But again, that idea of it's designed for a person with limited mobility, but if you walk up like the guy who will hopefully come up on this picture, like I do quite often when I'm entering a building and my arms are just full of stuff,
exactly.
right? I'm not
going to use that.
Right? So I'm going to use my elbow or my hip or something to hit that button, even though I'm not represented by that little blue symbol on there. But I'm taking advantage of something that is designed for universal use. And so those are the kinds of things that I think churches can think about, not just with their building space, though. I want to talk about how our atmosphere, how our attitudes can change, and how this interaction we call worship can be augmented by these things. So as we look through some examples, you know, we're not thinking just about parking spaces and on-ramps, but mm-hmm. we're talking about, how about that information piece? What about some previews for people?
Right.
And you've probably worked with this with your family a little bit, but mm-hmm. so, you know, looking at our church website, so mm-hmm. you'll see on here a visual schedule, some of these types of things so that you can see what's happening now, what's happening next. You can actually move, you know, the little arrow from one thing to the next if it's up on the wall, or again, on the website is a great place to put information about what are they getting into. So many of us are afraid to go into a new mm-hmm. church. We've already talked about some anxiety things, right?
Exactly.
I mean, would we go to a hotel? Would we go on a trip and book a hotel without first looking up what that room might be like, whether there would be breakfast there, you know, whether it's a king size or a queen size bed? Is there a fridge? Is there a microwave? You know, all of these things we want to know about a hotel room before we get into it.
Yeah.
And if we as churches can think about people are taking almost that kind of risk by coming into this environment and into this space. Yeah. You know, some of our churches are a little dressier than others. Some of them we can worship like this. Some we worship with our hands down, right? Some we get a book to read our songs and scriptures from. Some it's all up on a screen. You know, what does it look like? What can we expect of the place that we're getting ourselves into? So having that information, again, it's if you're thinking for that person who may have literally no ability to come without this information, but who are you helping by providing this information?
Well, you're helping way more than just
everybody.
Yes, everybody.
Definitely. Exactly. Right. So, yeah. So that's the kind of idea here is, in terms of that goes. And one other idea is the order of worship or the church bulletin. And some churches are actually feeling like this is going out of style because they're just going to the website instead. But I got to tell you, for so many of us, we rely on that sort of checklist to get through the service or to know exactly what's happening next, how many songs we're going to sing, what songs they are. And even if you can see on that screen, there are icons on that one. So that's a sample one that CLC we have on our website. Because again, having things visual is helping even those who are non-readers or poor readers or anything like that. And so having it visual is also very helpful. So a couple of ideas about that. And then we can just move right on through, because here's the other thing. We've talked a lot about our words, right? Mm-hmm. How about the words that are being spoken from the front? How often do we hear the phrase, please stand?
Oh, yeah.
And if you think about how many times there are those of us who were in church who could not stand. Mm-hmm. And now you just drew a line.
You're singled out.
Right. Yes. Because now there are those who can participate and those who cannot participate. Mm-hmm. So if you put the words up on our PowerPoint here, I'll offer you this other phrase, please rise in body or in spirit. Mm-hmm. Now everybody can do that, right? I've even heard a person with autism say, my body has autism, but my spirit does not.
Yes.
Right? We have physical limitations to things that we can do. Our spirits don't have those limitations as long as we've surrendered them to Him. And so I think that can make a big difference in the way that our churches formulate our language. So I know this is kind of speaking more to the church planners and the pastors who are speaking these things, but these are just some of the things that we've encountered. And this one's really important to me. As I already said, my whole family is gluten-free. So offering
a gluten-free option. On limited diets.
Definitely. Absolutely.
In fact, and I've seen this happening more often now, just because the gluten-free diets are becoming more prevalent.
Yes, yes. And so I've already said to churches, you know, that's fine if you want to think it's a fad or a trend or whatever, but offer it, because there are those of us who cannot participate if you don't have gluten-free elements. And so you're going to exclude them from communion. And let me tell you what kind of spiritual impact you're having right there.
Exactly. Especially if you do it every week. That's just part of the worship.
Right. So just provide it. Just make it a thing that you provide. So it's a small thing that makes a big difference. Other small things that make a big difference is stocking some equipment. So if you were to walk around my house, you'd see a lot of these, and we'll bring them with us if we know we're going to a church that doesn't have them, right? Some hand tools, some fidgets, things like fidget pencils are one of my favorites. Hopefully our pictures will come through on this slide, and we'll see if our animation's working. But having some different areas of seating, some different choices for things to sit on, something like a weighted lap buddy, basically a stuffed animal that instead of the plush stuffing, it's got either plastic pellets or you can take
like a weighted blanket, but small.
Yes, same thing. Yep, it's disguised like a stuffed animal, that kind of deal. Wiggle cushions. A friend of mine takes hers to church for her four kids, and they just pass it along to who needs it the most. And I just keep thinking, man, if your church had that sitting there for you, what a welcome that says to you, rather than this odd look of people of you're carrying in this weird thing. To have it there already says, we know you're coming and we expect it and you're welcome. So yeah, there's some examples of the fidget pencils and just a squeezy for a hand fidget there, which does truly help people focus. Again, you know, the ideas of seating, does everybody have to sit on the same chair? Can there be options? A beanbag chair, a couch in the back, room to stand, you know, choices can often be a great way to welcome people.
And I know even just about a month ago, I sat next to a, family that's a friend of ours, and they also have a child who's on the autism spectrum. And it was so packed, I had to be in the seat next to him, and yet he was like overtaking both of our spaces. So I kind of stepped back, you know, understanding that he needed the space and wasn't able to ask for it. But I thought, you know, those are some tiny spaces, and he's a very big boy. And we didn't allow for him to have any other space. So that's really important, because they don't ask. They just, you know, they're there, and it feels uncomfortable to them, but they don't, you know, it's, that's where they are.
And he sounds like a kiddo that has difficulty picturing what the boundaries are. If you'll click this next one, because I want to talk about those parking spots. It's what they're called. So if this next picture will come up, there are these big circles as opposed to carpet squares. They're carpet circles. And they're about the size of a hula hoop, with the idea that, right, so many of our carpet squares, the kid sits down on it when they're crisscross applesauce or sit like a pencil, whatever you want to say, right? Well, as soon as they sit on it, their body's covering up the carpet square.
And they don't see it. Exactly.
And they don't see the boundary. They don't see where their boundary of their space ends and your space begins. Whereas these parking spots are so big that they can still see it around them. I have also used hula hoops as that personal space, but, you know, hula hoops become all sorts of other things.
And so, yes, exactly. I was going to say that could be.
That gets really interesting.
Very interesting, yes.
Yeah. And that's the same thing with all of the fidgets, the wiggle cushions, all of those things, is if it's becoming a toy, then it's not effective. It's only there as long as it is a tool that's being effective to help them pay attention, be calm, all of those things. So.
Definitely.
Yes, but again,
my voice a lot.
But yeah, so the idea is, right, so churches, we can do some small things that make a big difference for a large group of people. And then let's just talk for a few minutes about this idea of implementing some personalized plans and adapting to the needs of specific individuals, right? Instead of saying, try the church down the road, we have nothing for you here. Well, let's come up with a plan. And again, I think we can make that manageable. So one thing to do is appoint a good coordinator. I've seen that work so well in so many churches. But again, it's not that you're the teacher of the room 7 kids, or, you know, this separate person.
I love the word coordinator, because it goes back to your casserole example.
Exactly, which is why that slide's coming right back up next, because right, this person is not, you know, the Sunday school teacher of the special ed class. Mm-hmm. This is the shredded cheese person. And you may have several of them, depending on the size of your ministry setting. You know, you may have the shredded cheese of the children's ministry and then the shredded cheese of the adult ministries or whatever. But again, this is a coordinator who's going to help formulate, these are the individuals who kind of need a specialized plan. And that's the coordinator who's going to help make that plan happen. And sometimes that plan involves a whole team of people. And this coordinator might get the team started, but isn't leading that team necessarily, right? Is just the person who coordinates getting the teams together. So yeah, that word coordinator is a very key word.
Definitely. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it goes back to, we're not putting you all in one room. We're incorporating you. We're including you.
Yes.
There's the casserole.
Yeah, I love it. Church as a casserole. But here's the idea, right? We obviously can't form a plan until we've gotten to know the person. Mm-hmm. And so this comes down to discovering that person's puzzle piece, getting to know them, right? What is it that they love to do?
Thunder? Yes, it's pouring here.
I'm just glad you can't hear the wind blowing in the, like, the -8 temperature outside. Oh. My house.
Yeah, I'll take the thunder and the rain.
Fair enough. So getting to know, how does this person engage in church? How does this person calm down when life is too rough, right? We have to get to know what's happening in their family, in their situation. What is their Sunday morning like, right? Do we need to start their personalized plan at the door when they come in and sitting with the family? Do we need to start out in the parking lot before the meltdown there happens? Do we need to start it Saturday night with a quick text or phone call or postcard that says, I'm looking forward to seeing you. Will you bring this picture to me tomorrow? And that gives them access to bypass the whole greeting area. That's the whole stressful piece. And they come and they bring that card to that specific person. I don't know, you know, but so getting to know when and where things need to start. Or maybe it's getting to know that the weekdays just get long and hard, and having coffee on Friday night is a way better way to connect than trying to have fellowship time when you get in the door Sunday morning. But
exactly. So, yes. Getting the lady I interviewed last week, she's Jewish, but she said, we learned that there was a balance of how much my son could handle of going to the temple and then what we needed to do at home. And she said, I just invited the community into my home. And then we had church in both places. Because she said there was some places my son just physically could not handle. But our community had to understand it wasn't that we weren't trying and that we weren't giving them a way out, but there was things that we needed them to help us with in our home to help his faith formation as well as in the church.
Absolutely.
That is such a perfect thing to think about, that it's not all or nothing. And so, like you said, you know, coffee at my house on Friday is my fellowship time versus on Sunday morning after, you know, we've probably been sensoried out. And we just need to go home.
Yep. No, absolutely. So such a good point. So here's the real thing, though. When we're talking about these individualized plans, just talking with a church this afternoon, say, yes, we need a plan for the individual because they need, you know, this piece and this piece put in place in order to be successful in this environment. Then we need to think about the family and some of the support they might need, right? The page is congregation needs a plan too. The rest of us need some information in order for this plan to go well. We need to know if this individual is going to be jumping and flapping when they get excited and they're joining worship, right? Exactly. Rather than the rest of us getting kind of freaked out that this reaction is happening and something might be wrong. So all that to say, right, we need the information. And of course, you need to get permission to share any information about an individual and their family and all of those things. And that's why there's a picture of that training manual, because permissions and some forms for gathering information and some ways to share that information, all of those kinds of things are in that book, which is one
that can be found on your website, which we'll go to in just a little while. So there's so many resources on your website. There's a lot of free stuff, and then there's this training guide. There's a lot of other books. So you've already created all the stuff that for the conversations, for the families and the churches to bring them together. And so you don't have to recreate the wheel. I think oftentimes we think, oh, I'm going into a new church, now I can start everything all over again. Well, here is a way. I mean, the CLC network is basically, you've done the groundwork. And I mean, from what I've seen, it works because, it's been used.
Right. Well, and that's what we're hoping, right? I mean, we certainly haven't created the exhaustive list of things to try and ways to do it. But we have definitely tried to say, this is what we've seen work. And like I said, you know, we've applied things that we learned in school settings that were tried and true methods, but then translated that to say, this can work in church too. And then taken all of the years of experience we have working in ministry to say, okay, yep, this and this really actually flow into a ministry setting, and you know, to boil it down into making it work for everybody. It can happen. So like I said, it's not this huge overwhelming thing. It can really be done well. So that's what we are here to try to do, is equip those of you who are on the front lines doing this in families, in communities, in churches. So so we are winding down our time, and I think coming to a close. You have a few other links, but just
support the needs. And there you are. clcnetwork.org. And then you've got a blog as well.
So we're always posting, you know, the latest thing to come out that we've learned about, or a family who's had a really cool story, or some new tips and ideas for each season. I know we've got a few new posts coming out for the Lenten season, that, you know, Easter and some of that sensory overload and things that can be coming up with holidays at church and things like that. So
yes, and all the candy and us unrestricted diets, you know, that's how do you handle all this? And yes, we're trying to tell everybody, don't give that to my child. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yes. Stay away from red number 40, right?
Yes, exactly. Everything in between.
Absolutely. So, yes. Yeah. So I know, as you mentioned, we've got our website on there, and we're open to some questions as we're in our last couple minutes here. So,
yeah, I don't know if BeLive is behaving tonight. Sometimes we can't see anything, and I haven't seen a whole lot of viewers, which doesn't mean that we haven't had them, unfortunately.
Right.
Sometimes they just don't come up. So if you have a question and you put it in the feed and we haven't seen it, we'll get back to it after the broadcast and answer it by typing.
And I am happy and to be available through email as well. So if you go to clcnetworks.org, my name, Tori White, is on our church services webpage several places, and it's just twhite@clcnetwork.org. So, yeah, there's my whole presentation and my daughter helping me hold up puzzle pieces.
So, yeah, there's some videos that you have on this page, and that's the four churches, church resources. Just that you can even show to your churches if, you know, if you feel like I don't have the words, they've got the words for you. And so
great conversation starters. Yeah. The one with my picture on it, there is about a 5-minute video kind of about my story and the idea of being one body together in Christ and each of us being a part of it. And then the other two videos down there are a little bit longer. The one on the left there is called Worship as One, and it highlights really three different churches learning to do this inclusion with a couple of individuals and how that's kind of changing how they do worship as a community and what that's doing to their congregations in very positive ways. So really cool stories, but three different churches. So it really highlights what's happening in those. And then the other one there is my colleague Barb Newman, who's written a lot of the resources that we happen to carry, and sharing some of her vision and passion and ideas for how churches can really do this and come alongside families well.
And then the first link underneath there is that role-based tips for inclusion. And I know I pulled that up separately because you have shared that link with me too. And I just want you to look at this. It has, you know, here's the something to give the announcement communicator and the assistant buddies, caregivers. You've got a whole list here with some great resources, just even categorized down for different roles within the church and how to make it inclusive from all of those points of view. So you're like, it's like the recipe for the casserole almost.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, we really tried to think through, you know, okay, if we want everyone in the church to really get this, we have to really think who's in the church. And so I'd love to know if there's a role you play in the church that didn't make it to this list, because I'm going to add it there. But then, you know, a few ideas, hopefully not too many ideas, but at least a few to think each person within the congregation can truly make a difference. If you're the person who orders the products for the bathroom, or, you know, the person who's making the budget, whatever, we all have different areas that we're serving in our churches, and each one of us can do a few things to sort of widen the welcome for everyone. And so thinking about a couple of those things that you could do that might make a difference for those who might otherwise not be able to participate as well. So
exactly. Yeah. So that's clcnetwork.org, where you can find Tori and all of their resources for churches and for parents, and just, you know, starting that bridge building process. And just want to thank you for giving us so much equipment, so much tools, and even some wood to go along, and you know, just to help our parents to understand that, you know, this isn't a I think we often look at it as a hopeless thing. And, you know, even equipping our adult children, I'm looking at this going, you know, my kids are having a hard time getting back into church after being hurt so many times.
Right.
And, you know, just to help them see that, you know what, this is something that we just have to work at.
Right.
And it yeah.
And what I'd love to see for all of us is that there are churches who are doing this. And so maybe watch that video to see, right, that you haven't lost hope that churches are doing this. I know one of our sort of, not sister ministries, but another ministry that we're really good friends with is Key Ministry. And
yes, I've been in contact with them.
Oh, good, because they connect people with churches that are in the local area. And, you know, I'm a part of several Facebook groups and things like that, that they're helping with, to just say, hey, we've got a family in this area. Who knows of a church that's doing this well, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, yeah, you're not out there alone. And there is live streaming. I, too, have depended on that for seasons of my life, when being in the community, in the actual place called church, was not going to happen. But we don't want to stay there, right? Because that's not where we're going to fully realize our potential. And our church is not going to be able to fully be who they need to be without us there. So, but yeah, just to say, it isn't hopeless. Churches can do this. Churches are doing this. And we all belong together. So let's keep preaching that to one another.
Well, thank you so much, Tori, for your time.
Thank you.
Thankfully, our connection stayed through all of our bad weather, and God provided.
Amen to that, because I didn't have power earlier today, and now
yes,
I do.
Yes, I know. I got that email, and I'm like, oh, boy, this will be interesting.
Yeah, webinar by candlelight doesn't work out so great. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Did.
So thank you, God, for the light.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, this has been a joy and a delight, and I hope to hear comments and questions come through from this. So,
yes, definitely. I do, too. And then next week, we'll release the podcast on Sunday, as well as a full-length video on YouTube. And then throughout all of next week, we'll have four different shorts taken out of here and played back on YouTube as well as Facebook. So, those often get a lot more views because people are like, yeah, I got 5 minutes. I can make that work versus a whole hour. So.
Yes.
Or they just download the podcast and listen to it while they're cleaning their house or making dinner or all those things. So, yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But one, just thank Tori and thank the CLC Network just for informing us and just for the work that you do. Thank you so much for all that. And I want to thank the Learning Disabilities Foundation of America, because you partially fund our broadcast, and we love that. And also viewers like you who donate to SPED Homeschool. We are a nonprofit, and we depend on your giving to keep going. Thank you for that. Well, this is the end of our Child Spirit Month, and I'm focusing on that. Next month, we're going to talk about the body and how the body is so important to learning. And our first guest for that topic for the month is Heather Haupt. And she's going to talk about movement and why you shouldn't homeschool without it. She has the Ultimate Brain Breaks is one of her products, and she's got a new release coming out, I think, next week that she's going to be talking about as well. So anyways, you can join us here again Tuesday night next week, and otherwise, let's keep the conversation going on the SPED Homeschool Support Group on Facebook, where we are always conversing about something and answering questions and encouraging one another. So thanks, everybody. Thanks again, Tori. And
thank you.
We'll see you all next week. Bye, everybody.